This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
This is show 539 for those keeping score at home. 539.
And welcome. Infamous ACC index card starts the 9 o'clock hour. But first, Pack, we have an example of the infamous ACC index card. Can we show you John Hughley, who just joined us, 15 of 20 at the free throw line in the game? Earl Grant's team was 14 of 19. Is that index card material?
Again, for folks that have no idea what we're talking about, what is the infamous ACC index card? These are nothing more than numbers. We are not here to sway you in any shape, way, or form about any team or teams that get calls or fouls against you. That is up for you to create your own theory or conspiracy theory or whatever. That's not what we do. All we do is supply the numbers. That's all there is to it. And the infamous ACC index card involves nothing but ACC games against ACC teams. That's all there is to it.
Fact. There it is. But there's an example of what might be considered index card.
Some people may now, see that. Some people may look at that stat and go, oh, for crying out loud. Hey, the numbers are the numbers. Dude went to the line by himself 20 times. Team on the other side went to the line 19 times. There's a lot of different variables there.
All right. Form your
own opinion.
Let's go to the two categories that fall under the index card's guise. One is foul margin. Minus is good, plus is bad.
That is correct. Right? Negative, in this particular case for foul margin, you want to be a team that's got a negative number. That is a good thing. You've been called for fewer fouls versus the ACC teams that you have played. And ironically, we just got done doing the accounting. We'll give that an update here momentarily. But Duke, Miami, Louisville, you would say those three teams, quite frankly, are three of the four or five best teams in the conference. So obviously they got good players. They're playing better defense. Negative number for Duke, Miami, and Louisville. There you have it.
All right. So there's the foul margin. Now the free throw attempts margin, Pack.
Free throw, it's the exact opposite. You want a positive number beside your name, which means you've gone to the free throw line more than your ACC opposition. Duke's done, obviously, a brilliant job. They've gone to the line 41 more times than their ACC opponents. Miami plus 29, Pitt plus 20, Louisville plus 18. You go down the whole list here. Georgia Tech, I will point out, is at the dead last bottom spot in both foul margin and free throw margin. Kind of an interesting number, I think, when you see Notre Dame and Clemson at the bottom there at minus 18 and minus 32. Those two teams, you would say, well, they shoot a bunch of threes, therefore they're not aggressive going to the basket, and if you're not doing that, you don't go to the free throw line as much. They will play each other on Wednesday night, and they're both right now pretty hot. Notre Dame 5 in a row. Clemson, as I said, won 5 of 6. Keep that in mind when you're watching the game Wednesday night.
Well, foul differential for those two teams is interesting, too. It's not as drastic. I mean, Clemson's, plus 11 foul margin, Notre Dame plus 3. And neither team, in Notre Dame's case especially, doesn't foul very much. Right, Notre Dame does not commit many fouls at all when you look at their broader strokes in games.
No, Clemson, I think, much more aggressive on the defensive end. It's kind of been Brad Brunell's calling card. And you heard Seth Greenberg talking about defensively, Clemson's normally really, really good in that department. So, again, we just provide the numbers. That's what the infamous ACC index card has always done. I'm not here to tell you about a conspiracy theory or your team's getting screwed or your team gets all the calls.
Yeah,
that's not what we do. But those are the numbers.
Yeah.
Take for whatever it's worth. And when you're watching games, if you say, oh, for crying out loud, so-and-so shot 30 free throws, we went the line 6 times. What's that index card number say? We will provide it for you for the remainder of the year. That's what we do.
There you go. All right, so you've seen the index card. We also turned around accounting today for you after a weekend filled with close games. And I probably was a little more volatile in the ups and downs of accounting than Packer was, but, you know, had some adjustments to make. Miami's the new number one. Duke is second. Notre Dame, Carolina, Louisville, Wake Forest, Virginia, Clemson, the top eight. Florida State, NC State, Syracuse, Pitt, Boston College, Virginia Tech, Georgia Tech round out my 15.
We're starting to see a little separation, though, aren't we, Wes? It looks like our teams are primarily in the same spot for the most part. Here's my Sweet 16 this week, because I always give you 16. Yeah, you got to give Miami love, man. Hey, they're 5-0. For all you Duke fans out there screaming, oh, we're still better than Miami, sounds good, but there's a thing called scoreboard, and it matters. So Miami's one, Duke's two. I was impressed with the Heels. They get a big jump for me, but just about everybody else stayed in the same neighborhood. Louisville drops a little bit because number one, North Carolina got the bump. Wake stays the same with the win. Notre Dame stays the same with the win. Clemson moves up, winning on the road. Virginia with a major drop because they got punked in Chapel Hill. Florida State holds serve. Yep. NC State law stays the same. Boeheim's ditto. Virginia Tech didn't play. Pitt gets a love with the close win. They jump the Heights, which is BC, and the Defenders, which is Georgia Tech. And 16th on the list this week, the way, 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 way too early preseason college football polls and rankings. Everybody wants to get a jump. We haven't even finished the season yet, but yet you want to tell us on January the 10th who the top 25 is for next year, as if anybody cares. Irrelevant.
There you go. Nice. What are we doing?
I mean, do you want? Why don't we come up with our top 25? It means absolutely nothing.
Nope.
What are we doing? What are we doing?
I want to. Let's stay away from preseason college football rankings, right? Let's do that for the time being.
Hey, we'll get to it in August.
Yeah. All right. I tell you what, we can get to. Maybe the game of the year so far in ACC basketball. I thought Miami's win at Duke on Saturday night gave you a little bit of everything, right? Yep. A team coming in undefeated, two undefeated conference teams. Duke only had one loss. Miami had three. Cam McGusty will be with us in just a moment. He finished with 14, including the game winner. Isaiah Wong, a big shot. Charlie Moore. I'll tell you what, if Miami goes on to have this year that potentially they're trying to write the script for, this Charlie Moore diving layup, and I do mean diving layup, and one, maybe the shot of the year in the ACC, given crazy where it happened and that kind of thing.
Well, as I mentioned, unranked teams had lost 59 consecutive games on the road against teams ranked in the top two, and Miami snapped that streak Saturday night at Cameron Indoor. Duke's still really good. I still think Duke's the team to beat, quite frankly. I mean, even though we just got done doing accounting, but the snapshot is as of right now, and there's only one team with a zero in the loss column, and that's Miami. And they have done a great job coming from behind. We pointed out their come-from-behind wins against NC State and Clemson. They were down 18 to Syracuse. No problem. And as great as they played Saturday night, Wes, they fell behind with less than a minute to go after really playing their you-know-what's off for 39 minutes. You're thinking, oh, man, what an effort. But Duke's going to figure out a way to win because they made two great defensive plays. But there is no quit with this crew now. They have got great guards. They're tough. They're physical. They're old. They know how to play. And Jim Larrañaga, to his credit, deserves a ton of it because he's now 7-7 against Duke since he's been at Miami. And the Canes have kind of shot the first fire to everybody else in the league of, guess what, boys? Yeah, we know Duke's good, but you're going to have to deal with us too. So good for the Canes. They've earned it.
Yeah. Paolo Banchero, 20 points for Duke. In the loss to Miami. Blue Devils are in Winston-Salem midweek. Miami is at Florida State. So there you have it. Careful is right because Florida State looked the part Saturday night, didn't they?
Yep.
Knowles put 50 on the board in the first half and ended up beating Louisville 79-70 at the Tucker Center. And as Greenberg noted an hour ago, Florida State looks like they might be starting to round in. I would say this. Carolina and Florida State gave you food for thought on Saturday that when they have it going, Pack, they're going to be a handful. And I thought both schools clearly had it going on Saturday.
Well, and I would go as far to tell you that, you know, Notre Dame's old. They've won five in a row, and they've got a win against Kentucky in their back pocket. Clemson's won five of six. Something's got to give Wednesday night when they play. Louisville, I'm not going to sleep on them. They found a way to win a bunch of close games early. Yum Center is always a great home court advantage. Can't forget about them. Wake Forest looks like they're not going away either. The storylines are starting to, you know, you're starting to figure out who can play, who can't play, who could be a spoiler and all that stuff. And it goes back to what we've been saying for the last couple of weeks since we had a more of a basketball mindset. Who can start putting together weeks, Wes? Can you go WW yep. this week? Because if you can, man, I'm just telling you, you're off to the races. And it came like Virginia, even though they got waxed Saturday. You know, I think there's some confidence that, hey, they were able to score at Syracuse in one. They were able to score at Clemson in one. Tony Bennett is a brilliant coach. They've got some pieces where if they make shots consistently, they're going to be a tough out too. Virginia Tech, you know, they're not going to stay in the doldrums where they are right now from a standings perspective. They're going to be a tough out. So there's really terrific storylines throughout the league. The question's going to be, who can emerge? And right now, it looks like Miami's certainly done that, and Duke's still going to be a tough team to handle for everybody else in the conference.
Yep. When we come back, the Power Hour continues here on a Monday on Packer and Durham, and we're going to go to Coral Gables because Cameron McGusty is the guy who hit the game winner the other night for the Blue Devils in Durham, and he's one of the ACC's top scorers. And a part of this group that is a little old, if you will, in terms of their build. We'll talk to Cam about being a veteran guy in this league next on Packer and Durham.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Miami doesn't have a timeout, but they've got the ball down one. Into the lane. Tough take. Cam McGusty fires Miami in front.
But this right here, again, I said Miami has three guys that can get you a bucket. That's a big-time move right there by Cam McGusty. Again, body control on point, eyes on the rim the entire time. Took the hit, and that's a big-time finish.
What a win for Miami. Holy mackerel. Sending shockwaves around the country. Down goes Duke. Here come the Canes. Five up, zero in the loss column in conference play. Wes, a bunch of that perimeter, I'm telling you, you got great guards. You can make things happen in college basketball.
Hey, great players, old guys. Let's go to Miami. Cam McGusty joins us live from Coral Gables. Hey, look, now, I know we're going to joke around about, you know, you being around a while, being an older guy in college basketball, but Charlie Moore's got you beat. I know that. Rodney Miller's got you beat. Isaiah Wong's a youngster compared to the rest of you guys, but old is a good thing, it seems, with this team, Cam.
Yeah, we always talk about using our experience to our advantage, using our, experience to help our younger guys get on the same page as us, to help them, help us contribute. It's just more of a mental thing that, you know, going into games, we take pride in, and it helps us and gives us a mental and physical advantage. And we, you know, take pride in that.
Cam, you know, everybody's got the Duke game on the brain, but I'm going to go even further back. The game against Clemson. You know what? You guys are down. Looks like it could be a loss. About 5 minutes ago, it's time to make plays. You did. You win the game. NC State, you're down 8-10, second half, made plays, win the game. Syracuse, you're down 18. Hey, don't flinch. Let's go play. You win the game. As great as your team played Saturday night, you know what? Duke makes a couple plays. It looks like you're down three or four with a minute to go, probably no man's land, and bam, just like that, we lost. Wes, how about that? Miami hasn't – Miami hasn't lost anything until we bring McGusty on the show. All right, let's get McGusty back on here.
There you go.
So, Cam, I was just going to say – again, experience takes care of business. You guys just don't flinch. You know, I mentioned the Clemson game, State game, Syracuse game, and even with a minute to go on the road at Cameron Indoor, you guys are just like, hey, next play, man. I just love the mental toughness of this basketball team. You guys have already shown that here at the halfway point of the season.
Yeah, that's where our, you know, our veterans come in. We always make sure we're all on the same page. We're big on, you know, if we see something that's going wrong, or if we feel like we need to change something, we're going, hey, bro, come here. I need you to do this, or I need you to do that, or we've got to focus on this. We got to work on being our gaps more. Don't get backdoored. Little stuff like that. You know, our leadership is very much kept us together in those moments. And like I said, you know, Coach L always tells us, you know, play the game, not the score. So that's also what helps us too, is just continuing to play hard. You know, we got to play hard for 40 minutes. We got to defend for 40 minutes. We got to stop the other team from putting the ball in the basket. So we take pride in that. So it's just more of a mindset thing. Like I said earlier, just, you know, coming together and knowing, hey, collectively, we got to do X, Y, and Z, you know, to come out with the win. And, you know, just never getting discouraged, just, you know, staying locked in, staying ready for the moment.
Cam, what is the, I mean, and because you've been a part of the team the last couple of years, I feel like I can ask this question and get an answer of that's fairly in depth. What's it mean to be healthy? I mean, I know Rodney's out, and I know a couple of other guys have been down a game or two, but on the whole, the last 2 years have been a nightmare from a health perspective. You guys seemingly are an entirely different team just because of that.
Yeah, I mean, going back to the last 2 years, dealing with these injuries, you know, we had days where we really couldn't practice. We don't have enough guys. We really can't get on the same page together because, you know, there's no chemistry. Guys are in and out of the lineup. So it definitely brings a lot of challenges that you have to face and a lot of adversity within those 2 years. But I feel like it built a lot of character. It kind of, you know, made us stay down a little bit. And now that we, you know, have bodies, now that we're healthy, we're getting full practices. We're able to have the chemistry that we, you know, that most teams are supposed to have. Oh my gosh, I'm sorry. You need ice cream right now.
That is awesome. That's awesome.
Hey,
how
Cam,
good is that?
Cam, I told you, don't turn off the disco lights, man. Ever since you turn off the disco lights during the break, it's, you know, you're down there in Miami, man. You guys got disco lights down there. You know, you went against the trend. I told you not to mess with those disco lights.
Yeah, I should have. But yeah, so what was the question again?
It's all right. We're talking about the healthier team. But here's the other thing: the idea of changing the roster. And see, this is the other thing where I think you in particular have an advantage. But so does Sam, so does Charlie, and to a degree Isaiah, because you guys have been a part of an evolving roster for a couple, 3 years now. It's not just the health thing. It's the fact that Charlie Moore shows up, who's a perfect fit for the way you guys want to play, with you and Isaiah especially. Jordan Miller becomes a perfect fit in my mind, Cam. The fit that Coach Larrañaga and Caputo and Bill and these guys, they put together, they understand kind of the way this has got to be built, I think.
Definitely. Going back to that, like with me and Isaiah last year, you know, kind of playing in the ACC tournament together, that's when we kind of put it together, kind of figured it out. All right, me and Zay were kind of on the same page. Then Charlie comes in. We get Sam back. We got Jordan back. I feel like, you know, in the beginning of the season, we weren't really playing as together. We weren't as connected as we are. But, you know, we got our butts whooped in Orlando a couple times. UCF came into our home court and beat us. You know, we had to go back to the drawing board, and that's exactly what we did. We went back to the drawing board. We spent more time together. We worked on the things we needed to work on, and, you know, it's finally all starting to come together. And, you know, it looks beautiful out there the way we play. We've got a lot. We've got multiple guys getting double figures. You know, it's not the same guy going and get 18 to 20 every night. It's a new dude, you know. Somebody else's number's called every night. You don't know who it could be. So it's definitely a great feeling to know that, you know, you have help and you have other guys making you better. You know, I feel like we're really good, and we're doing a really good job at making everybody better. You know, everybody is getting touching the ball. Everybody's able to get their shots up. Everybody's able to contribute. And at the end of the day, that's what's going to help us continue to stay on the streak and win games.
Cam, that was never more apparent than what you guys did Saturday night at Cameron. But I got to ask you, Charlie Moore's late flying in the air, eyes closed, throw it up at the rim, got fouled, and it goes. Come on now, when you guys are flying back from Cameron, there had to be some conversation about that shot. That was unbelievable.
Oh, yeah. I actually asked him. I said, bro, how'd you make that? He said, bro, I just threw it up there and it went in. But Charlie's a heck of a player. He really led us that whole game, not just scoring-wise, but just, you know, getting the ball moving, controlling the pace of the game, his defense. You know, Charlie brings a lot of aspects to our game, I mean, to our team that – we really need, you know. He's a true point guard. We haven't had that in a couple years. He's a competitor. He's a great teammate, a great leader, high IQ. He's always on the court, quarterbacking guys, telling people what we need to do, how to make our team better. So it's been nothing but a blessing to play with such a high IQ and high level point guard like Charlie. He's brought a lot to our team.
All right,
and man, I'm grateful to have him.
All right. Do we need to go hit the light button again real quick before it goes off, or are we good? Right, what do you
go
think?
Ahead. Yeah.
Yeah, let's go hit that light button one more time just to make sure. I tell you what we got. Look at that. We got it. See? Look at us. Write that one down. By the way, we're going to talk to your new athletic director about the light switch. Pack and I got a good relationship with the new AD, so we'll get on the light switch thing in Miami, okay?
That's going to be Miami's new motto. We're turning out the lights, Miami basketball. That's going to be the new motto.
Turning out the lights, yeah, Miami basketball. All right, Cam, here's the part that's tricky about all this. All right, if you were a younger team, I'd be a little bit more worried about this. But now you got a bunch of older guys. So processing Saturday and turning around and going to Tallahassee, what are the key elements here? What's going to be kind of the point of conversation, the point of preparation to get ready for Florida State and a team you know that's immensely talented and started to find it a little bit the other night against Louisville?
Just knowing that the job isn't finished. You know, that's where, you know, the older guys, the veterans, that's where we come in and, you know, we make sure our guys aren't too high-headed. We make sure everybody's still level-headed because the job isn't done. We, like Coach L said in the press conference Saturday, we still got 15 games left. And truthfully, you know, I feel like we still don't have the respect that we deserve. I was actually talking to one of the GAs, and they said on KenPom, we're the fourth-ranked luckiest team in America. And I said, what kind of stat is that? The luckiest? So obviously, you know, people are still sleeping on us. We still aren't getting the respect and the recognition that we deserve. And we know that, too. We talked about the locker room yesterday, and we thought that was absurd and crazy. So we just got to keep going. Obviously, you know, they're still sleep on us, and we still got to keep playing hard and playing well until we lock in a tournament bid on Selection Sunday. That's the end goal at the end of the day. So we still got a lot of work to do. You know, if we go in and lose to Florida State, they might say it's a fluke for all we know. So we got to just keep continuing to prove them wrong and keep going.
Hey Cam, I got news for you. You're now the third luckiest team in KenPom, behind Providence and Manhattan.
See, just like that. But that's the stuff that motivates us, you know. We don't shy away from that. We were ranked 12 coming into the season in conference. So, you know, stuff like that, all it does is motivate us and, you know, just give us a reason to go a little harder, to not get complacent. So, you know, I like it. I'm glad that we're still getting doubted, you know.
Cam, I swear to you, as on a stack of Bibles a couple of years ago when we started this show, that stat appeared on our show and I called BS on it. I'm like, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. The luckiest, and there's an unlucky stat. Like, hey, you know what? The object's to put the basketball into the hoop and score. You either do it or you don't. It got nothing to do with luck. Man, you got to go play, right? I don't want to hear about it. So when you brought up the unluckiest stat, I'm like, I've not heard that in 2 years, and I went off on it on the show. So I'm glad it bothers you because I'd never heard of it before in my life, and I've been doing this for a long, long time. And all I know is this. When you got good guards in college basketball and you've got good experienced guards in college basketball, guess what? You can make stuff happen. And that equation has never gone out of style. And I think from that reason alone, you guys are going to be a problem. You guys are going to be a problem for not only this league, but everybody else that sees you. So you got that going for you, I think, because you're balling.
Yeah, I definitely agree. We've done a good job. Even our younger guys, Wooga came in last night, got 5-some rebounds, got a dunk, 2 back doors, a key rebound for us in the first half. The second half with 5-6 minutes left.
Yeah.
Bensley's done a great job of just coming in and being a dog, picking up their point guard full court. Whenever his number's called on offense, hitting big shots for us. You know, I remember one of the first games he came in when he first got his opportunity, he said, bro, I just want to play. And I said, you know what? Best way as a freshman guard to get some minutes being coached by Coach Ells to come in and play some defense. And, you know, the moment he did that, that's how he earned his minutes. And you know, he's a great offensive player. And now all that's starting to come along. But, you know, it's just everybody coming together as one collective group. You know, I like to use the term that our team is very interdependent. You know, everybody has to do their job in order for us to be successful. And, you know, we've embraced that and took that on as a team. And it's starting to show off and pay off.
No question about that. Listen, traditional question. We ask this to every student athlete.
Wait.
What's the matter?
Wait, we got to go get the lights. Go hit the lights, Cam. We're getting ready to have the lights go out.
Uh-oh, here we go. Miami basketball, we're turning out the lights. Here we go.
See, lights went out again. Here we go. All right, Cam. All right.
Get up, big
boy. All right, now we can extend the segment. All right, here's our traditional question. We ask this to every student-athlete that appears on the show for the very first time, and that includes you now. Since you've been at the University of Miami, what has been your hardest class?
My hardest class. Man, that's a tough one. I would say I took a sports leadership class that was pretty hard. I think I made it a little harder than what it should have been. Because I'm a sports administration.
Okay.
All my classes are like evolved around sports, leadership, facilities, stuff like that. So definitely my sports leadership class. That was probably the hardest one. It was all the what made it so hard was on the test, all the questions were written responses, so it wasn't multiple choice. So that's kind of what made it a little more difficult, because it was like, man, you really have to know the information. It's not like you can just look at some of the answers and be like, oh, it could be this, maybe it's this. Nah, you got to know those answers.
Well, you had the answers Saturday night, my man, because I tell you what, That was some great win. I know you got to put that in the rearview mirror, because you know what you're walking into tomorrow night now. Those boys in Tallahassee, boy, they don't care what the sport is. Anytime the Canes and the Noles get together, it's go time, and it's going to be rocking tomorrow night.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Florida State's a great team. They, in terms of athleticism and skill, you know, they've got all the pieces. You know, even though they've lost some games they probably shouldn't have lost, they definitely have all the pieces and are well coached, and if we come out there not you know, being ourselves, they'll get us. So it's definitely going to be a good game. I mean, it's a rivalry game. You know, I love this, the Florida State Miami rivalry. It gives me, takes me back to my OU days for Red River when we used to play Texas. It gives me the same feels, the vibes, and you know, it just turns me up. So I'm excited for our guys to get on the court Tuesday night, tomorrow night, and take them on.
Keep on rocking, man.
Well,
you guys are doing
a
great job.
Great to have you on the show. Great job, Cam. Appreciate you being with us. Good luck, okay?
Okay, thank you. It was great being here. Y'all have a nice afternoon.
All right, turn off the lights on the way out.
Well.
Turn the lights out.
Turn off
the
lights when you finish up, okay? Don't let, you know, wouldn't want any power bills to get askew down there on Radakovich's time at Coral Gables. Cam McGusty, one of the ACC's best scorers. We're going to get on Radakovich now, aren't we? I mean, is that not one we can kind of roll with?
You know, I'm assuming that Radakovich gets credit on his resume now that was a win at Duke. That goes on the Radakovich AD resume, right? Is that correct?
Yeah.
Is that how that works?
Yeah. Right? That's the way that works. Yeah.
That's the way I look at it. So he's got to figure that one out.
Yeah.
Got to raise some more money.
Yeah. No, he, I mean, when you look at it like that, Radakovich got a win at Duke. You're the AD. You get the win.
Yep. Exactly right.
There you go.
Great story, from Miami. Really great.
Oh, Pack. And, you know, here's the thing. We visited with Charlie Moore last week, McGusty today. We've had Isaiah Wong on before. I know Sam Wardenburg's return to health, I think, has really been a piece for these guys. His experience and versatility, I think. Miami, Florida State's going to be – we got some good midweek games, don't we? Notre Dame, Clemson, you mentioned earlier. Virginia Tech. Going to be a really interesting midweek in the ACC. When we come back, get you caught up on a little bit of football news. Gene Chizik. Tell you what, he walked right off of on old Roman Harper. All those guys, he's done. He's headed to Chapel Hill to work with Mack Brown. We'll talk about that in a moment.
Packer and Durham. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Hey, don't forget, Thursday nights at 10, we got a women's basketball doubleheader, and then we wrap up the night with Nothing But Net. You get highlights, analysis, insight on every women's game, look ahead to the best games of the weekend. You only get it here on ACC Network and on the ESPN app.
Enjoyed our conversations with our two debutees today. Both of those guys are terrific. They've had great years. I mean, well, Greenberg, you know, you know what you're going to get with Greenberg. But sometimes, you know, you got student athletes making their debut. There's a lot of folks that don't know the personalities behind them. That's the cool thing about our show, because we've really put a focal point on the student athletes. And there's so many cool stories, whether you've been there all 4 years, 3 years, whatever, you're a transfer, whatever the case may be. But there's always storylines, Wes. And to me, that's the fun part about college sports. Very seldom does it stay the same from that perspective in terms of the individuals. It's always fun.
Right. Yeah, John Hughley of Pitt, Cam McGusty of Miami. Sensational. We appreciate them spending time with us here, especially ahead of big ball games. Hughley and the Panthers meet Syracuse tomorrow night. McGusty and the Hurricanes are in Tallahassee to see Florida State Wednesday night in ACC basketball. Couple of notes here on the football side. And Pac, I think you did this on Friday's show about Jay Bateman being let go as the defensive coordinator, right, at Carolina? Was that Friday? It was Friday, I think.
It was
right?
Friday late. Yeah, story broke.
Yeah, late. Almost a 10:05 on us. But Mack Brown moved fast. I mean, 24, 48 hours. And Gene Chizik has been brought back to Carolina. Remember, he spent 2 years there as a defensive coordinator with Larry Fedora and then went back to television where he was sensational on the Southeastern Conference Network. And now he's going to come back to Carolina as the assistant head coach for defense. And Mack Brown also brings Charlton Thomas in as the defensive coordinator. These are two really, really impressive hires to hopefully garner some momentum for that side of the ball in Chapel Hill next year.
Gene is, I would consider, a really good friend. We have broken bread together. We spent some time with his family. He spent some time at his lake house. So I seem to know Gene all right. I'll tell you a funny story. Gene was doing shows with us on Sirius XM. This is before he took the North Carolina job the first time. I was at the Rose Bowl covering the game, and about an hour and a half before kickoff, just looking over Pasadena and the Rose Bowl, a gorgeous place, my phone rings. And it was Chizik. And he said, "Pac, what you doing?" I said, "Well, I'm out here at the Rose Bowl. What are you doing?" He goes, "I just want to let you know. I want to give you a heads up before word gets out. I'm taking the job." I said, "What are you talking? Taking what job?" He goes, "I'm taking the North Carolina job." I said, "To do what?" He goes, "I'm going to be the defensive coordinator." I said, "Get out of here." He goes, "Oh, yeah, they gave me a sweetheart deal." So he's explaining the deal to me. I said, "Well, congratulations. I'm going to hate missing doing shows with you. But thrilled that you're coming to the home state and hopefully run into you up in Chapel Hill and all that stuff." And the funny thing is, there were people in the press box around me, and I hung up the phone, didn't think anything of it, put the phone down. And I'm not going to tell you what national writer was sitting a couple chairs over and said, "Pac, who was that?" I said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "The guy you're talking about, was that Chizik?" I said, "Yeah, how'd you know?" He goes, "So he's taking the North Carolina job?" I'm like, "How do you know?" He goes, "Because I just overheard your entire conversation." So that's how the story broke with the national news. And so when Gene landed it the second time over the weekend, I didn't call him. Oh. I just sent him a text and said, "Hey, welcome back to the ACC. Looking forward to touching base with you. Congratulations." And we went back and forth on some texts this weekend. So I'm happy for him. He's a terrific coach. He knows North Carolina. Mack did have to move quickly. I mean, you still got recruiting going on. You got the coaches' meetings coming up. I mean, that whole lay of the land, again, other teams around the country still filling up staffs and stuff. But I'm happy for Gene. Again, I hate that we're going to lose him here on ESPN because he did a terrific job on the SEC network. But he is a really good dude and really happy that he's back doing what he loves to do, and that's coach.
And I might add, too, that he's got history with Mack Brown. He worked with him in 2005 and 2006 at Texas. So
can I tell you another crazy story with all that? Because it does tie everything in together. Gene and I, years ago, were doing a Sirius XM camp tour, and we went to Texas. And the defensive coordinator at the time at Texas was a guy by the name of Manny Diaz. And there was all kinds of pressure about, hey, is Mack Brown going to be able to fix the Texas defense? And Manny was tagged. He was it. And here I am doing it with Chizik. And there was a lot of people buzzing that Mack should have hired Gene Chizik back then. So, you know, it's kind of funny how all that works sometimes, this small world of the coaching fraternity and so forth. So, Again, I think Manny will do a tremendous job. Again, we're going to miss him here in the ACC, but he's up at Penn State. I think that was a really good hire for James Franklin. And getting Gene Chizik back in the league should be terrific for not only North Carolina, but also the ACC.
I think so too, Pac. And here's the other thing. I mean, we start to look at some of these coaching hires. There's no question Mario Cristobal is building a juggernaut at Miami from a staff perspective, right? I mean, Brian McClendon's going to come in as the offensive coordinator. A lot of symmetry from the success he had at Oregon. We've seen the moves at both Virginia Tech and Virginia with Tony Elliott at the Cavaliers spot, building a staff, Brett Pry in Blacksburg. Mike Elko's trying to put together his first Duke staff. We're seeing Brad Lambert come back as defensive coordinator at Wake Forest. I tell you what now, the infrastructure and staffs of this league are starting to ramp up just about everywhere, don't you think?
Well, we say this all the time, whether we're talking football, basketball, baseball, women's tennis. If you want to be good in college athletics, you've got to have, number one, support from the president, chancellor, AD, coach. And if you're going to be really good in your respective sport, man, you got to up the ante. You know what? Recruiting budgets, your staff. I mean, this is what it's all about. And, you know, you look at the change that Dabo Swinney's gone through here for the really for the first time, a major change. And, you know, I think the hire last week of Nick Eason was a brilliant touch. I mean, that guy's going to be a great coach. He's going to, I mean, gets Clemson, understands it. Gene Chizik gets North Carolina, understands it. I think what Coach Cristobal is going to do down at Miami, he knows how to recruit like nobody's business. He knows what Miami's all about. That's going to be good. You've seen what Jeff Hafley's done in a short period of time with the staff he's put together and the momentum that BC's got. You go across the board here, Wes, you've got to surround yourself with really good people. And that's true whether you're running a sports team, you're running a television show, a television network, an insurance company, pizza parlor, whatever. It's an old adage I've used on radio for a trillion years that, you know what, if you're weak at the top, you are bound to fail. And that is true regardless of your line of work. It's the way it works.
By the way, I said Charlton Thomas. It's actually Charlton Warren who's joining Gene Chizik. That was my mistake. In terms of the he'll be the co-defensive coordinator and linebackers coach. He, too, has Carolina experience, had been there before. He had also been at Georgia and Tennessee, Florida, and was most recently at Indiana. So those are the moves there. Real quick, Brian Ives, who does crack research and production stuff on ACC Network, found this research and information the other day. I wanted to share this with you. Here's North Carolina's defensive efficiency rankings under Jay Bateman the last 3 years. You see the drop, 68, 76, 99. Tar Heels had to do something on that side of the ball. They did not make enough plays, in my opinion, defensively this year to offset some of the offensive struggles they had at times.
North Carolina's got really good talent. And for that team to go 6-7, I know they don't want to hear it, but it's the truth. They're one of the most disappointing teams of the 21 college football season, if not the most. I mean, they're on the short list, unfortunately. So status quo at 6-7 was not going to cut it. And Mack Brown, he's been around the block a few times. He understands it. And sometimes you just need a jolt. And hopefully these decisions and moves will help North Carolina. They've got dudes on the defensive side now. Especially with that incoming recruiting class, which was ranked higher than anybody else's in the conference. So there's talent coming into Chapel Hill. That's never been an issue. Now it's a matter of can you coach them up.
A couple of notes here to go to break with. Given all these changes, there are now just three schools in the ACC that will enter next year that won't have a new head coach or a new coordinator. Boston College, Louisville, and NC State. Everybody else has either got a new head coach or a new coordinator on one of the sides of the ball.
And
so
I think it's
keep that in mind. Here's the other.
I was going to say, I think it's one of the reasons why the folks in Raleigh are ecstatic. Number one, you got your quarterback back. You got a lot of old pieces that have decided to come back and play some more. You're coming off a season that was good, but it still left you hungry for more. You want to win the division. You want to win the conference. You want to get in the college football playoff. You want to get to New Year's Day 6. All that's still there for NC State. I suspect on all these way too early polls and stuff, there'll be a lot of momentum about NC State, in my opinion, as we get into the spring, assuming everybody stays relatively healthy, and into the summer when all of a sudden we really do pay attention to preseason top 25s. NC State's going to be part of that equation.
Yeah, and keep an eye on Pittsburgh, by the way. E.J. Borghetti put out a stat over the weekend that's worth your time. Pitt's going to bring back 10 all ACC honorees in the 2022 season in football. No other school in the ACC has more than 8 coming back. 10 back come back for the Panthers.
Yep, ACC champs. Ooh. They are the defenders. Pat Narduzzi and the boys, they got the belt. They want to keep it. And so off to the races we go. Right. There are going to be some great storylines in spring football in the league. I'm just telling you that right now. We will cover it. But there's some big-time competition. Almost at every school you pick, there's going to be some terrific storylines.
There you go. Sit tight. Final segment, Packer and Durham's Monday. On the other side, a quick check of the midweek schedule. We've been talking about it a little bit. Man, every game, every night in the ACC is going to be something from a competitive standpoint. We'll hit it for you next.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
All right, ready for a doubleheader of men's basketball? Got it for you on Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, number 2 Duke and Wake Forest. Coming at you live from Joel Coliseum in Winston-Salem. Then at 9 o'clock, NC State and Louisville. All right here for you on ACC Network, streaming live on the ESPN app. And you know what they say about the app, Pack?
One tap.
One app, one tap.
Yep.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
One tap. That's all you need.
Just like that. Bang, boom. You're in.
I was just thinking about the thing that's been cool the last week to 10 days is on this date. Because you go through all the – this is like a cool two-week period to kind of reminisce of old times, because you'll see like 72 years ago on this date. I mean, there's amazing things that happened, especially college football and the NFL. You start getting into playoff time.
Yep.
College football, the same thing with the bowls and everything else on this date. And today is no different, Wes. No different.
Wow. And here's one that's going to age you pretty quick, kids. Because if you remember this happening, 40 years ago today, 40 years ago today, Clemson's Dwight Clark makes arguably the greatest catch in San Francisco 49ers history. That is Everson Walls defending one of the great covers of magazine history at Sports Illustrated. Dwight Clark catches a ball from Joe Montana to send the San Francisco 49ers to the Super Bowl.
Can we not get a colored version? Is it only black and white photos of 40 years ago? I mean, what's going on there?
Well, I think Brooks and Macri are trying to lower the boom on those of us that remember it in color by showing it in black and white double down on the fact that we are old. 40 years ago today, Clemson's Dwight Clark, went to high school in Charlotte, born in Kinston, and makes one of the great catches in pro football history from Joe Montana to send the 49ers to ultimately their first Super Bowl appearance, where they beat the Cincinnati Bengals at the Pontiac Silverdome.
What a dump.
In a Super Bowl.
Yeah, that place was a dump even when it was new. But man alive. I remember that because I was getting back to class at Clemson. That was right after the Tigers had won the national championship in football, beating Nebraska. Then all of a sudden you had this Dwight Clark guy from Clemson making the catch, and you're thinking, man, There's some positive mojo going on here in Tigertown in football. But Dwight Clark was a tremendous guy. God rest his soul. He was just a really wonderful dude. First class.
Yeah. About 15 years ago, I had a chance to spend some time with him. He was great. He would sign autographs, by the way, and you know this, Pack. If he had a bigger section of paper to do it on, he would draw the play for you on the autograph. He would sign your name. He would sign his name, personalize the autograph, and then if you wanted to, he would draw the play. So there are people who have Dwight Clark's signature and the play diagram. Phenomenal way to do it.
Yeah, he's a great dude.
Good for him. God bless Dwight Clark, and fun to remember. Midweek basketball coming up. We got a lot for you. We'll keep previewing that tomorrow for you. Tomorrow night, you got Pitt at Syracuse, Miami at Florida State, and then we hit it into overdrive on Wednesday night. Thanks to everybody for a great show. We'll see you tomorrow morning, 7 a.m., Packer and Durham on ACC Network.
Packer and Durham.